What if the Bible were lost and you found the only copy of the Bible that anybody knew about, and they did not even know about that copy of the Bible until you found it? What on earth would you do? That's today's lesson. It's not an imaginary thing. It really, really happened. We're not going to look at the text, and so whoever's back there on the slides, if we go to slide number 3, let's set the background for what the time when that Bible was discovered. The children of God had been in the promised land for 800 years. They'd had the Word of God. Moses had given them the law, given them the Ten Commandments, had written those 5 books, and the other books of the Bible were being written. And now they're in the promised land, and they've been there for 800 years. And when they'd been there for 800 years, when they had been in the land, and during that 800 years, they'd had the king, the judges to rule over them, and they had the kings to reign over them. Some of those times were really great and wonderful. When you read that and you try to imagine living at that time, how would you like to have been when Gideon's army of 300 destroyed all of those Midianites? Would you like to have been a part of that army? If you'd been part of it, it might have been those 2/3 of them who went home because they were afraid. You understand what I'm talking about? But, I mean, you start and think about 300 soldiers and a victory is won by God. What about Samson? What about whenever he was creating such havoc among the Philistines? And what about that great work that Deborah did and whenever she led the Israelites to be free once again? But man, there's a lot of dark times. Because when they get in the promised land, they forget about the Bible. But they didn't lose copies of it. They always had a copy. It's like you've got a copy of the Bible, on a bookshelf at your home. They had that copy of it. It was there in that tabernacle, which was later the temple. And when you begin talking about the kings, you think about the glorious period, not necessarily of King Saul or the latter part of the reign of King Solomon, but what about that great and marvelous time when King David was on the throne? Wouldn't that have been great? Wouldn't you like to have seen young lad David kill Goliath? In my imagination, I'm a child standing there, and I get so excited when everybody's afraid except this one young man, and he goes out there and he destroys the Philistines or destroys Goliath and puts the Philistines on to flight. Marvelous period of time. They had the Bible then, and David evidently had followed the teachings of God, for God told the king, you make your own personal copy of the Bible and you read it every day. And David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Great and marvelous time. And then how many kings there were in the northern kingdom, right? 19. How many in the southern kingdom? 19. How many righteous kings were there? There were 4. There is Asa, there's Jehoshaphat, and there's Hezekiah. And the setting of our Bible story today, and I'm going to take more time to tell the story than I do in making the application of it, so don't think I'm going to preach like Paul did and preach till midnight. But you need to understand that it's a great period of time. Hezekiah's there, and Hezekiah has brought Israel back. He's destroyed idolatry and everything, and God has extended his life. But it was during the time of Hezekiah those glorious days had disappeared and the northern kingdom was destroyed. And all of that happened when Hezekiah was on the throne. And then the sunlight of knowledge begins to pass away. And they lose the Bible. Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, is the individual who became king. Hezekiah led them through that great period, through the fall of Israel when that northern kingdom fell. And now Hezekiah dies, and his son Manasseh sits on the throne. What happens? There are two places in the Bible. One is in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and the other is in 1 Kings chapter 21. And our text that Tim read so well to us this morning is found over in 1 Kings chapter 21. Instead of just flipping back and forth, as I tell this story, you can either go to 2 Kings chapter 21 and chapter 22, or go to 2 Chronicles, because I'm going to combine these two accounts of the stories. I'm not making up stuff, you understand, what happened. Manasseh gets on the throne, and so you might want to look at the text. You might want to look to see all that he did. If you want to go ahead at this point and go ahead and put up that slide that says the darkest hour begins to get darker and look at the text, you might want to put up the those verses that are a part of the text, and that is those verses, that slide number 2 from 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 21. But this is only the beginning of it. Manasseh is 12 years of age when he gets to the throne. And after you read about Manasseh, verse 2 said, he was 12 years old, he reigned 55 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. What did he do? Now imagine you've been in that glorious period when Hezekiah's been on the throne, when the nation is close to God, one of the periods of time whenever there's a righteous king and there's righteousness all over the land, and then all of a sudden, a 12-year-old boy gets on the throne. We have any 12-year-old boys, young ladies in our audience today? Here's one. He's 12 years old when he becomes king, and he does evil in the sight of the Lord. He rebuilds the high places which Hezekiah his father had torn down, places for idolatry. You look down at verse 6. He made his sons, and we can't get to verse 6. You'll have to have your Bibles open. He made his sons pass through the fire. What's that all about? Part of pagan worship. There was a god by the name of Molech, and you'll see that name often in the Old Testament. About Solomon is the one who, by the way, in the latter part of his reign, put that idol to Molech. Out there in that valley of Hinnom, if I speak that Greek name of that valley of Hinnom, it is Gehenna, Valley of Hinnom. It was a place where, and by the New Testament times, all the refuge of the city had been taken because of the corrupt things that had happened. It became the city dump where they were burning things. That's not the first thing they burned in that place. They burned children in a place called Tophet. The word Tophet, which is the name of another name of that valley of the sons of Hinnom, means a drum. You know why they called that place Tophet? Because as they were burning their children, they had drums, and the drums were there beating and beating and beating to hide the noise of those children, those infants, as they screamed out in the burning metal that they had placed, their body had been placed, and a fire burned under that model of that idol. Tophet, a drum. And they carried their children out there, and the king did it. The leader of the nation did it. You look at those verses, he rebuilds all of those high places. He goes and he begins to make idols. You look down in verse 7 of 1 Kings chapter 20, or 2 Kings chapter 21. He set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David, in this house is my place. And now there is the female version of Baal. Ashtaroth is her name. In this house my name has been chosen. And he says that he paid no attention. Manasseh seduced them to do more and more. And so he brought idols and placed them inside that. He put altars beside that golden altar that Solomon had made where they worshiped God. Side by side with that were idols where they worshiped the stars of the heaven. That's in Jerusalem. And when we'll read in just a few moments about what Josiah did, Josiah came in and did away with the male prostitution that was taking place inside that city, inside those holy buildings. Yeah, they lost the Bible. We could spend a lot of time, and if you want to read something that will show you how far into sin a nation can go, to read these verses from 2 Kings chapter 21 and 22 and 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 34. It is astounding how evil they became. And in the two courts of the temple, I understand perhaps that's the courtyard of the temple, not the holy place and the most holy place, but there is some indication that even inside the physical building of the temple itself, they placed idols. What do you do with the Bible when all of this happens? And for 55 years, he reigns. What was happening 55 years ago in America? How many of you remember man walking on the moon? Go ahead and raise your hand. Everybody can look around. Everybody who's got their hand up is 60 years of age at least, or maybe 65. Isn't that amazing? Nobody remembers. Do you know how glorious those days were? We were really trying to be one nation under God. The hippie generation was just beginning, you know. Woodstock was just beginning to begin to impact this as a nation. Bibles were being read in schools. Moral precepts from the Word of God, the Ten Commandments, were displayed in schools. What if, at that time, we totally lost the Bible? Where would you be? Most of you do not remember this. You don't remember the glorious days in which we were really trying to be one nation under God, and we prayed, and we prayed in public. You don't remember what it was like to be in a nation like that. But when you lose the Bible for 55 years, they lost it. And as far as anybody knew, there were zero copies of the Bible. Manasseh dies. Could it get any worse than to have Manasseh on the throne for 55 years? Could it get any worse? His son Amon gets on the throne. Amon only reigns 22 years, or pardon, only reigns 2 years, and he did evil in the sight of God, and more evil than Manasseh did. How much more evil could you be than what Manasseh had done? When Amon dies, his son Josiah comes on the throne, but it takes him 12 years before he starts doing something about all of this idolatry. And that's the good part of this lesson. But you've got to add those 12 years to the 55 plus 2 plus 12. That's 69 years. Go back to 1954. What if there had not been a Bible present in America since 1954? Imagine America without a Bible for 69 years. How much darker can it get? Well, there is good news, because there is the discovery of the one copy of the Bible that existed as far as we know. How did that come about? Manasseh 55, Amon 2, and Josiah gets on the throne. Josiah was 8 years of age when he sat on the throne. Can you imagine that? We have anybody here that's 8 years of age? I want you to understand, how would you like to be the president of America at age 8? Isn't that amazing? But the astounding thing is that the Bible talks about him and about his life. And the Bible says that when he was 12 years old, and to get this over in 2 Chronicles account, he began seeking God. I want to tell you about one of the four righteous kings. Not Asa, not Jehoshaphat, not Hezekiah, but a boy who, when he's 12 years of age, begins to seek the Lord. Don't tell me that young people cannot have an interest and understanding of God. I wish you could have seen what I saw this morning. We were singing, and these two rows of teens out of here, except that one real old man on the left side as I stand here, every one of you were singing praises to God. He's 12 years of age, and he starts looking for God. Where's he going to find him? How on earth are you going to find the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You're not going to find it in the lives of the kings and those religious leaders. You're not going to find it in the lives of those influential people. And you're not even going to find God in that temple. It is devoted to paganism. And it's been that way for most of 70 years. And there's no evidence of God. And a 12-year-old boy, I wish I knew what influences there were in his life that caused him at age 12 to seek God. But I want to thank all of you women who devoted so many of hours of your lives teaching our children up and down that hallway as you leave the one back to the right. So our children at such a very, very young age. And I stand here and I look and I see some 10-year-old people, boys out there, young ladies. I see some that are 6 or 7 years of age. I see some that are a little bit older. And every one of them is listening right this moment. Thank you, young people, for listening. 12 years of age. When he's 20 years of age, the 12th year of his reign, he begins to destroy the idols. Wonder where that came from. He's not known anything in his lifetime about how bad idolatry is, but he knows that idols are wrong and that to worship the stones and the idols of wood and to begin to worship those when he is 20 years of age. Young adults, I thank God for those of you who used to sit here and now you're sitting mostly there. And you're in your 20s. He's 20 years of age. And he says, idols is wrong. And so he goes out and begins to destroy the idols. In fact, he's in the southern kingdom. That northern kingdom has been destroyed. There's no longer a northern kingdom, but the land is still there, and some of the people are still there. That's where the Samaritans came from. And so he goes up into that northern kingdom and destroys the images of idols that he found up in that northern kingdom. 20 years of age. And he has not yet seen his first copy of the Bible. If you're 20 years of age, you need to understand, not someday. It's today. And so he's 20 years of age. And so he sees that temple is in ruins. And you get more of this in 2 Chronicles than you do over in 2 Kings. And he goes down and he says, we've got to clean up the temple. He gets people to give money and they take the monies down. And they go in and as they are refurbishing the inside of that, for there are no more idols in that place. Josiah has long since removed out of them. The money is given to those individuals. And as they look around and as they dig around, guess what they find? The only copy of the Bible that was on this earth that we know of. And it's brought to the king. This is in his 18th year of his reign, so now he's 8 plus 18, he's 26. Those of you who are in, you know, you're 25, you're one-third of the way through your life if you live to 75. I know you think you're young, but you've already lived one-third of your life. And here he is, and he's got a copy of the Bible. And when it is read to him, in amazement, he rips his clothes, tears his clothes, rents his garments, and starts crying. Jerusalem is in the shape it's in because it hasn't had a Bible. What does he do? 26 years of age. And he leads the fight for the last 15 years of his life to set up worship as it once was. That's the story. Let's talk about the application of it. In the first place, you need to know that you can understand the Bible. How blessed you are with the ability to read. How blessed you are to have grown up in the presence of the Bible. How blessed you are to have grown up in a land where there are churches and where there is a semblance, at least publicly saying, we want to be one nation under God, indivisible. That's not Josiah. But without the Christian background that you had, without any real spiritual training, he reads the Bible and he understands it. And notice what he does. He does not, when he sees the spiritual condition of Israel, he does not start a new Jewish religion. I want you to hear that. America is convinced that the only hope of America, the only hope of mankind, is for us to have a new kind of church. You know what Josiah did? He read the book and said, we got in this mess somewhere. Somewhere we went down the wrong road. And when you're traveling somewhere and you've gone down the wrong road, you need to go back to the highway where you got off. Jeremiah said it to this way. For Jeremiah comes on later in this period. Israel has gone back to paganism, and Jeremiah says, stop and stand and look. Stand in the ways and look. And ask for the old paths. He did not try to start a new church. Hear the words when he says, ask for the old paths and walk in them wherein is the good way. We've got to learn that the story of Josiah is repeated at other times in the Bible when a similar kind of situation arose, but not nearly as dark as in this period of time when they found the Bible and they went back and they restored Judaism to its very purity that it had had in the days of Moses and Aaron when they were there at Mount Sinai and as they were there in the wilderness and during the time of the glorious period when there were righteous judges and when there was righteous King David. They went back and they set up the original Judaism. You know what's happened to America? We have been brainwashed to believe that the old paths are not the good way. We need something new, something more exciting, something more appealing to the masses. And Josiah shows to us that if we had the only copy of the Bible on this earth, we ought to say to everybody, let's go back to that original church that Jesus put on this earth. 25,000 different denominations in America. 25,000 paths back to God. And how's that working out? You read, sometimes the number is 35,000. One place I read 44,000. Hear his prayer in Gethsemane. Father, I pray that all of those who believe on me through the words of the apostles might be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they may be one in us. And when they took this book, at first, inspired men were the book, and then the inspired book was left. And they established the one church in every place they went. And the message of Jesus is, don't change it. Final application. I want to call on you to make a personal application. And you to understand that God can use you regardless of your age. Young people, those who are 10 years of age, 12 years of age, like Josiah was, God can use you. Those of you who are teens, God can use you and you. You and you and you and watch this and you. The key to doing that is to take the book we have and do with it what they did. Take the Word of God. The Bible says of Josiah, having found the book, he stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord. I'm going to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments. Josiah says, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, to perform the covenant that was written in the book. Visitors, if you want to know why this church exists, it's to call all men back to the lost book. It's lost in a denominational maze of confusion where nobody, where the world is so messed up, you'd say you never could find it. But you have not the one copy of the Bible, you have your one copy. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to do what it says. And you see, I need to stop and stand where I am and take my stand before God, like Josiah took his stand and told the nation, take a stand. I need to take a stand. Because I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm ready to change my life. As I've talked to you this day about your age and you becoming a greater servant of God, take a stand and turn away from the wrong that you're doing in your life. That's repentance. And when you confess and let us know that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you can be immersed into that one original church. That's what they did in the first century to become a part of that church. And that's what men need to do today to become part of that one church. And he'll add you to that original church. You'll be in the same church Peter and Paul and all of the early disciples were. In that church, one is going to follow the book. And then he says to those of us who've done that, don't you dare let up. There'll be times you'll get discouraged, but don't you let up. You be faithful, live faithfully until you die, and the crown of life is yours. If we can help you in any way get right with God, won't you let us know how by coming to the front? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?